We're continuing our series called Summer Sabbath, and we're looking at one of the Ten Commandments, and so we're kind of journeying in some Old Testament text, and we're looking at what does it look like to be a people who rely on God in a world that never stops, in a world that has a pace, a 24/7 reality to it. Where in the middle of the night, you can wake up and your social media feed has refreshed and it has more goodness for you. When you can turn on the TV and your favorite news cycle just continues through the watches of the night to make sure you're informed. You can turn on the lights, hopefully, at any hour of the day and work. You can send those emails at 3 a.m. to keep your boss happy. Now you can like silence your phone so people can text whenever, and it's all right, you'll get to it. I mean, it just never stops. Anybody? Like, and then you want to do fun things, and you sign up for fun things, and then those fun things add 10 more things you didn't know you signed up for to your calendar on your behalf. They just decided for you. We call those kids. Guys, the world we live in, if you allow it, will consume all of you. The world will consume all of you. And what we're looking at is a way of the Creator God who in 6 days created, and it says on the seventh day rested. There is a rhythm in the Creator God that we believe informs us as we live in life with God. There is a rhythm where we see a God of restraint, and that God of restraint actually stops. That matters. We see a God of delight. We see a God worthy of our worship. We see a God of rest. This is good news, actually. It's really good news. And so this is week 3 in the conversation we're in called Summer Sabbath. And as we journey together, I want to remind you of what was shared last week. Our founding pastor, Alan Allen, gave us 3 encouragements of where we can stop. Very clearly, he said, stop going alone. Stop going alone. The way of God's kingdom is a journey of community and connection. You're not supposed to figure it out on your own. He said, stop relying on your own power. See, this invitation to life with God means you are not the source of power for all that you are going to see happen in your life. You are not the ultimate power source for the life you're intended to live, that there is a power and a presence God wants to resource us with. And he said something really challenging at the end of his message. He said, stop and recognize we need a reset. There is this work of Sabbath that in a 7-day period, God regularly calls us to a reset, a refresh of his presence, a refresh of our priorities, a refresh of a way of living where every seventh day we were reminded, oh, let your kingdom come. And as we see in the commandment, one of the top 10, this is wild, this is one of 10. It doesn't only speak about the one day, on the seventh day you rest, it says on 6 days you should work. And so God is wanting to inform all of the days of our week. These 6 we do in honor and worship of God, and the 7th should look different than the other 6. And it's a way to rhythm with God and rely on God and trust God. The weekly Sabbath invites us to stop as an expression of humility in our hearts. Period. I think at the heart of what God is inviting his people to in this is humble yourself and live life according to me in a way that will challenge what you think is best. And here's what I mean. Sabbath stewards humility in our heart because Sabbath calls us to depend on God. The practice of Sabbath, as we see in the Old Testament, is it's a way of humbling ourselves and depending on God. And it's very counter-human of me. I think, how many of you think you can accomplish more in 7 days than 6? until you're thoroughly exhausted, and then all seven are shot. Amen? Like, come on now. Y'all are like, I like this message. There's truth. There's something we need to see here. God knows you are not infinitely powerful and infinitely inexhaustible because you're human. The humility of Sabbath begins to call us to an awareness that we have limits. If the Creator God, who is infinitely powerful and beautiful and good and unfailing and eternal, rested on the seventh day, oh, might we have the wisdom and humility to recognize we might need to also. But I am just curious, what would be our objections to this gift from God? Like, just think about the objections you have to Sabbath. Like, let's kind of press it a little bit. I mean, the first one is, are you willing to stop? The first objection could simply be willingness. Am I willing to stop and trust God? My own life has told me at times the answer is no. I'm just going to try harder, strive harder. I'm going to go get it. So the one very first objection is willingness on our part. I came up with some objections for you because I am a mind reader. Said no human ever. But here we go. That's Old Testament stuff, Kurt. No longer relevant. Some of you are like, man, he got me. Jesus, actually, this was a good one. I thought this was pretty good. Jesus said the greatest commandments are love God and love people. Sabbath didn't make the cut. How about that doesn't apply to Jesus and the new covenant? That's old covenant. Jesus is new covenant, so we're off the hook. Yeah? I'm too busy, and it just isn't culturally applicable in our day and time. It's sort of just outdated. The idea of Sabbath was for back then. They were in captivity in Egypt. They had to come out. God had to do some stuff, but he did it culturally not needed now. I would argue maybe that's exactly why it's needed now. Maybe in our day and time, it's needed more than ever. But let's ask Jesus what he has to say about Sabbath real quick before we jump back into Deuteronomy. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples walked along. They began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, now depending on your experience with scriptures, the Pharisees are the religious leaders of that day who knew all the scriptures and the law, and they sort of held the standard culturally for what it looked like to practice our faith with deep accuracy and correctness. Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, let's read this part together. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus knows something the humans had forgotten. Humility before God is the goal. Humility before God is the goal. You are Lord, I am yielded to you. You are Lord, I'm surrendered to you. I don't elevate the Sabbath above because it's actually intended to be a gift for us, and I don't elevate myself above the Lord because humility is the goal. The goal of what we're going to read about in Deuteronomy is that our hearts would be surrendered to the living God. Humility in our heart is the posture we must embrace, period. Sabbath, let me try to be uber clear. This whole series about Sabbath is to bring our lives into God's presence so we would depend on God more. That when we sing a song, "We want more of you," we're not just rehearsing words, we're letting that capture our lives. Amen? Okay, so here we go. Sabbath is not to be idolized. We don't want to make Sabbath an idol where we begin to try to worship Sabbath in our own strength and we try to do it apart from God. It's not to be idolized, and I also think Jesus is really clear here. It's not to be ignored. It is intended to be a gift for you and for me. Do not neglect your need for God. Remember, I am the Lord your God, and I'm even Lord of the Sabbath, which is intended to be a gift for you to receive what you need from me. Sabbath is made for us to learn surrender to God and to experience security in God so we can grow as people of humility. God has what you need. God has what you need. And I think the gift of Sabbath is it intentionally sets a period of time where we regularly get back to God and say, "What do I need from you? My life is coming at me so fast and with so much pace and so much demand, I can get swallowed up." Sabbath reminds us to come back to God and go, "God, you're the creator of it all. You're Lord over it all. You are bigger and stronger and infinitely better than I am. I need you. I need you." I think if Sabbath is being practiced in a way that's good for us, humility will be the thing we're attending to in our heart. So what I want to do is I want to invite you to jump into Deuteronomy with me. It's one of the first books of the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. And as I read, I'm actually going to read a good chunk of Scripture. I just want you to listen through this lens today. Where do I see humility? Where do I feel called to humility? Where do I feel challenged to grow in humility? And we're going to start in Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5 starts off this way, verse 6. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." This frames who God is and how he's inviting us to relate to him. No other gods, no other idols, no other things that declare more truth, guidance, and direction for you. I am the Lord your God. Jumping to verse 12. "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals." Every time I read this, I can't help but think, even the animals get a break. Do y'all just find that curious? The Creator God creates everything, and he's like, "Hey, I want all of my creation to be under my rule and reign, my rhythm." Keep paying attention. "Nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." And as I read that, I was not in Egypt. I was not a slave there, but I'll be honest. If I look back at my life apart from God, I'm enslaved. I'm held up. I'm not free in the way God wants me to be free. And even as I follow God, what I'm learning right now in my journey with Jesus is he has deeper freedom for me. So you might want to read this and think about, where has God provided a freedom for you that you know is the Lord? Where is God freeing you from bondage to fear or addiction or this or self-loathing or other things, other ways of experiencing life? And he's going, remember what I did for you. I reached out for you. I stretched out my mighty hand. Think about how you would engage the story of God for your own life. Because as we keep reading, I think we're going to need to do that. Keeps on going. There's an interaction here with God and Moses and the people. Deuteronomy 5:27 says, go near and listen to all the Lord our God says. This is the people talking to Moses. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. This is important. The people are like, we will listen and obey. Do you think they are going to listen and obey? We should take comfort in that, because sometimes I don't listen. Sometimes I fall short. Sometimes I'm imperfect. But there's this humility in them at a moment that's like, go tell us what God's going to say. We will listen and obey. Until when? Until I think I know better and I go do something I think I know better about. Amen? Okay. Maybe that's just me. Y'all can pray for me. And I want you to listen to God's heart for the people. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. We have to anchor in the truth of God's heart for us, and that is this: God wants it to go well for us. And it's not just about you. It's about the generation that is coming after you and the places you're speaking hope and life and modeling a way with the living God, so that every generation can see and know the glory of God and the majesty of God. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. This is verse 32. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. See, humility anchors our heart in God. How are you doing in that category? How are you doing anchoring all of your life in a God who says, I want it to go well for you. I want to lead you and guide you. I want to relate to you in a way that you would know the things I've commanded and you would walk in freedom in those things. How's it going? Is God an add-on to the life you're charging ahead on, or are you beginning to find a way to bring your life and go, God, look, I don't want to go to the left. I don't want to go to the right. I want to be set on you. You are God. I am not. You are God. I am not. As we talk about Sabbath, I think sometimes it can kind of feel like, I don't know, am I really supposed to set aside 24 hours? And am I just supposed to pray all night and all day? And do I just read my Bible more than my pastor? And like, what is that? Let me give you a real practical example about what Sabbath has been happening for me. The thing that I think God wants to do is have access to all of our heart. And today I'm talking about stewarding a heart of humility. And there is a practice where we stop our work. And in me, I don't know about you, but in me, I have the propensity to turn everything into work because I want to do a good job. And it's this perpetual striving. It's this thing where I just want to, like, make everything good, and I want to show up well. And so what happens is, like, I don't rest on my inside. Does that make sense? Like, this is one of those hard terms, but I'm just trying to describe. On my inside, I can just keep grinding. In my heart, I can keep grinding. In my mind, I can keep grinding. I see heads nodding, so at least a few of you are with me. So it turns out I work on Sundays. Sunday is not my day of rest. I work Sunday through Thursday. Sometimes other days I find myself working. But Saturday is typically a day we really try to protect for our staff and our team. We try to be careful not to schedule too much stuff on Saturday. Did you know the rest of the world schedules everything for your life on Saturday? And I have the great joy of getting to watch my oldest. He likes to play baseball. And this is where I started practicing Sabbath. I realized when I watch him play baseball, I can make that work because it's all about performance. I want him to do well, and I want it to be this, and how do we fix that, and how do we coach, and duh, blah, 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 blah. And like, I just know he's going, oh, Lord, free my dad. Please deliver him. That would be an accurate prayer. I got to practice Sabbath sitting in the stands of baseball games about a year ago. It's a really good starting place. Because I got to sit there and just go, look at him. It's great. It's not about performing and grinding and striving. It's about resting and enjoying and just stopping the things that try to capture my soul and my heart that are not the Lord. And you'll get to figure out how you start stepping into this journey. But there is a real thing in all of us that must begin to stop. And it usually is deeply connected to humility, where we can go, oh God, I need to trust you with this part of my life. I need to trust you with this part of my soul. I need to trust you with this 24 hours. Maybe this 24 minutes or this 2-4 inning game that really matters for my future. Where will you begin to step in and let God work on your heart? There is something you do need to stop. And here's how I know it. Let's just keep reading in Deuteronomy. Just let the scriptures speak to you. I believe the Spirit wants to lead us into truth here. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So that, listen to this, so that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life here, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. What I want you to see is this is not about a religious checklist. It's about a way of living all of our life with God. All of our life back to God. So wherever you go, it's what's capturing your heart. Wherever you are, it's fueling what's happening. Whatever boardroom you're in, whatever you're praying through, whatever distress, chaos, whatever celebration, letting all of God's kingdom fill it up. Just fill it up, Lord. And let it be something that comes from me to the next generation. Let it move from me to the employees I'm over. Let it move from me to these young people that I'm around. Let your glory fill it all. Let your glory fill it all. Do y'all see the call to a humble heart, letting God have full access? Do you see the invitation to a life full of surrender? See, what I love about Sabbath is it's not just one day. It's God freeing me from the culture I'm in. Apart from him. It's God calling me to a life of surrender where I go, you're God, you call it, I'll do it. I'll learn it, I'll obey. All of my life is yours. Every part. Every part. And so I just want to encourage us as we grow in this, I just believe there is a gift. God wants it to go well for you. But he needs your attention. He needs my attention. He needs me to understand that maybe if I'm willing to stop trying my best, God can do more than I can. God can care for me in a way that I don't know how to care for myself. Deuteronomy 8. If you go back and read through this, it is almost maddening to me. It's like they say it again, and then they say it again, and then they say it again, because we forget. We forget. And then you read the next chapter, and they say it again. Deuteronomy 8, do not forget the Lord. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, here it is, otherwise when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. This invitation to a humble heart orients our worship. God, you have it all. It's all yours. Everything I have, everything that's multiplied in me, everything good that I have is because of your mercy and your grace and your creative presence. God, I give you back my life. It is worship and it's witness, so that the generation that follows you would hear and know the stories of God, so that the coworkers around you would hear about the testimony of how God freed you and set you on a whole new trajectory with your life. Sabbath stewards a way of living with God so we can worship him every day of the week. We can witness about him everywhere we go because his heart is that it would go well for us. There's more that we could keep going after. There's more in the scriptures. Go read Deuteronomy 10. It's a lot of fun. It's more of the same. It's more of the same. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So what do you need? Are you just worn out? Like, are you just to the max on the way the world seems to be going right now? Are you experiencing fear, sadness, anger, frustration? Are there real needs, like there's real financial needs you can't sort out? There's relational distress you can't make sense of? Like, what is real in your life right now? I think the invitation of Jesus is to bring our lives to the living God. And surrender. I need you. God, I have forgotten your deliverance from that thing a long time ago. God, I have forgotten the doors you opened for me. God, I've actually just forgotten that you want it to go well in my life. I've forgotten your commands. I've forgotten your decrees. when I think about this call to humility, which is demanded in Sabbath, I just can't stop if I can't humble myself and go, I've got limits. I think about Jesus, and in Philippians 2, it says that Jesus humbled himself even to death on a cross. So I cannot follow Jesus if I'm not willing to follow him and saying, I am laying my life down the way Jesus lays his life down. There's no getting around that. The scriptures say of Jesus that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When I follow Jesus into Sabbath, it increases the witness because I begin to realize God's pouring into me so I can pour into others. Humility, it's not just about me. There are other people involved. Even Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. I only do what I see the Father doing. Multiple gospel accounts capture that posture in Jesus. So how arrogant of me to think I can live my life apart from God when Jesus only lived his life connected to God. How prideful of me to think I've got to come deliver a life to God to show him, I did it. I figured it out, God. I solved it all for you. Here you go. And he's like, I didn't need that from you. I created the heavens. I put all the stars in their place. I asked for your heart surrendered to me. So God, I just pray as we close our time that your Holy Spirit would come, that you would lead us into truth today as you promised you would. That you would guide us into your way and your life. God, we need you. As many people in this room made in your image, you know each of them and you know the needs of every life. And so I just pray as we're quiet for a minute that you would allow yourself to welcome God. And just very specifically, I pray, God, that you would show us where we have not humbly surrendered to you, and you're going to talk to us about that. Where do you need to talk to us today? We just say, come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into a time of response with our actual lives in this place. I just feel like I'm supposed to encourage the room. If God is the creator and living and at work, God can talk to you. Like that sometimes can be a huge canyon to traverse in our lives at times. But I just think in humility, like if God can create the world we can see, I've got enough faith for you. He can talk to you. in a way that you can understand, that you'll know it's him. So God, I just pray that that would actually really help us right now, like that your presence would come, your leadership, your voice, your direction would come for us right here and now. Like, this is not to be like a religious response. It's not even supposed to be a force. Like, I think you want to meet with us and lead us into good spaces, just as we read in Psalm 23. So God, I just pray for the room right now, like increase faith that's from you, increase your activity where we need it. And I do pray that we would grow as humble people with humble hearts before you. We need your help. I just want to invite you to stand. We're going to close. If you're part of our prayer ministry team, I'm going to invite you just to come stand down front. We just believe that there's something really wonderful when you believe God's been meeting you through the worship time, communion, the scriptures, just in real time to respond and go, God, I want more of that. God, I'm here. And the prayer teams just want to bless that. They want to just bless more of God coming, more of God's kingdom breaking in. If that word about healing just sort of captured you, like you just went, oh, I would love to be, you know, to get prayer for physical healing, come get prayer. If you know you're worn out or you're tired, come get prayer. And we just want to bless what God's doing. We want to bless what God's doing. And so, Lord, we just say thank you that you are a God who cares for us. Your heart's desire for us is that we would know you and that things would go well for us. God, I pray that in this week, you would remind us of things that you actually did in our lives, that we would not forget you. I had that experience a week or two ago. God reminded me of something, and it was just so clearly him saying, that was me, and it was good. And so I just pray that that would be true of us, that we would be reminded, we would not forget your mighty deeds, we would not forget the freedom you've brought, we would not forget the way you delivered us from our life apart from you and welcomed us into your love. And so, God, would you just pour your spirit out on everybody this week? Would we find new ways to follow you? Let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.